Well, Mom brought the flowers this morning for Dad. His Bible's right there, too. I asked her why yellow, and she said, Dad just always liked yellow flowers. And I'm thinking, yellow rose. You know, Dad was a secret Texan. I didn't know that for all those years. So this last year, he got to come and actually experience Texas. But I'm just so glad to be with y'all this morning. This week's been trying. This week's been a time of reflection. But it's brought to mind something. And I'm going to start with this story. And I think it was 2008. I was invited to go on a hiking trip to Yosemite National Park. Now, a couple of things you need to know about me is I've never been hiking in my life. And the other thing was I really love the beauty of God. I love to see mountains. I love to see oceans. I love to see things where I'm just in awe of God. And so I hit this point when I was invited on this trip to say, I don't know about the hiking part, but I sure would like to see Yosemite National Park. So I had about a 3 or 4 month run up until I was supposed to be there. So I said, well, I better get in shape because, you know, if I'm up there hiking in the mountains, I hope to actually enjoy it, I need to get into some kind of shape. So what I decided to do is I found these little videos. It was this lady, she's a real happy lady, Leslie Sassone or something like that. And she did these videos called walking in to get into shape. And you'd plug that thing in and this nice happy lady would just start walking, and you would start a walking with her, and sometimes you'd walk sideways. And I just said, well, if anything, I said, I'm just going to do one of these tapes every day to build up my walking endurance, but in the air conditioning, and be able to kind of be ready for this hiking trip. I also bought a bicycle and I was doing some bicycling, and by the time it came, you know, I could go for 30 minutes an hour of this walking video, and I said, I'm ready. Can I tell you, there is a difference between walking in front of your TV and walking up a mountain hike. There is. I found that out really quick when I got there. I thought I was ready for it. I thought I was prepared. But I still remember this one day we're doing these hiking trails up the mountain, and the rest of my group had gotten way ahead. And I was kind of back, breathing hard and going, oh God, am I going to be able to make this? And I remember thinking, I must be close to the end. You know, I must be close to the end of this, well, not to my life, but close to the end of the trail that I was on. And I'm thinking, oh, thank you, Lord, for helping me get through this. And I kind of come around this curve, and what I see is that the trail just kept on going, and it was still going uphill. And I remember sitting down and going, God, yeah, I wasn't really questioning God. I was just questioning myself. I went, God, I don't know if I can do that. I'm tired, and that sure does look steep. I'm tired, and that sure does look steep. Now, I made it through that. I kind of caught my breath and I went on, and the end wasn't too far down the road. But as I was traversing my life this week, you know, that thought just kind of came back to me. Have you ever hit that place in your life where you've been struggling for a while and you've been pushing through it for a while and you've had, you know, one issue or two issues in your life kind of come upon you and you kind of go, surely I'm almost through this. And you turn a corner and all of a sudden you realize the trail is still going and it's going up. It's going to be a harder climb. And you just stop in your life for a minute and you look at God and you go, God, I'm not doubting you, but I sure am tired. That sure does look steep. Y'all been to that place in your life? You've been to that place where you just kind of go, God, I'm not sure if I can get through what you've laid in front of me. You know, sometimes when you hit those steep places in life, you start feeling alone. going, well, I wish somebody was here to kind of encourage me or to help me. You start feeling confused. You know, God, you know, we just went through a big climb right there. Why is there another big climb? You start feeling depressed and going, you know, I just don't know that I'm up for this. And luckily, you know, the Bible doesn't candy coat things. And as we hit those points in our lives, we're just tired. And the way just really looks steep in front of us, we can go back to scriptures and we see story after story of people who are tired and are looking at an uphill climb. I think instantly of Job, you know, when he says, you know, why do the righteous suffer? You know, it's steep, God. I'm doing what you're asking me to do. I think of David. The Bible says, a man after God's own heart. But you read those Psalms, and over again, if you listen, I'm tired, God. That sure does look steep in front of me. This morning, I want to pull from maybe one that you haven't looked at before. I want to pull from Habakkuk, you know, we'll put some of the verses up on the screen, but Habakkuk, the easiest way to explain in your Bible how to get to Habakkuk is head to the New Testament, Matthew, and go back about 15 pages. That's about the best way to describe it. It's kind of between Nahum and Zechariah, so if you know those two, which I doubt, you know, it's right there. It's only three chapters long. I remember a lot of what I'm going to teach today, I heard from Tony Evans when he lost his wife. He said with Habakkuk, he said, if the pages in your Bible stick together, you'll go right past it, right? It's just three pages long, but it's this beautiful story written out of a prophet of God who's in that I'm tired mode. And it looks like there's a steep climb ahead of us. Let's turn there. He in Habakkuk chapter 1, the very first part of Habakkuk, we're going to look at verse number 2. Verse number 1 just says, the prophecy of Habakkuk, the prophet, received. And it says, here's Habakkuk's complaint. In verse number 2, it says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Can y'all hear it there? How long? This has been going on a while, God. We've been climbing a while, God. I'm really tired, God. How long, God, is this going to keep going? And in verse number 3, which I we don't have up there, but I'm going to go ahead and read it because I think it's important. 3, it says, why? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction, violence are before me. Their strife and their conflict abounds. He asked two questions there at the first of his book is, how long, God? And why is what ahead of me ahead of me, right? How long this has been going? And why is there still more to go? How long and why? God. You know that although he's a man of God, that he's having issues here. In fact, you don't have to turn there, but in the third chapter, in verse 16, he says, he describes himself when he's thinking about this situation. He says, it makes my heart pound. He says, it makes my lips quiver. It makes my legs tremble as I'm thinking about what's going on and what's coming up. I think the best way to describe it is he's feeling like he's unraveling, right? I'm in the middle of something and everything I thought I knew is just unraveling. Let me kind of give you the backstory of what is happening in the time of Habakkuk. The people of Israel have messed up again, and this time God's judgment is coming on the people of Israel, and God is speaking what that judgment is going to be to his prophet Habakkuk, and the judgment is going to be God's going to use an evil nation. He's going to use Babylon as the nation to bring judgment on the people of Israel. And you know, looking at it, we can read the story, we can understand how God is moving the people of Israel to a, you know, through this storyline. But for Habakkuk, you know, that's just the craziest thing. You know, God, you know, we've already been through all this stuff that Israel did wrong, and now you want to bring judgment, but you just don't want to bring judgment. You want to use a people that are even more evil than what Israel did to bring judgment on Israel. And Habakkuk's just going, why, God? And he starts trying to talk it out. You ever do that when you're in a situation where God's just got you there and you don't really understand it, and you think, boy, if I talk it out enough, right? If I try to figure it out enough, if I get together and we talk about how bad things are and how things can't get any worse and why we're in this mess, and if we just talk it out, maybe we can get some kind of footing to get through it. But we know scripturally, I mean, you can look at Job. Man, that man talked. And he had friends come and they talked and he talked. And so many times, you know, no matter how much we try to talk it out, figure it out and go, you know, I can mentally figure out why God's pushing me through this. We just hit that spot where we're like Habakkuk and we just go, why? That doesn't make any sense. In fact, Habakkuk, you don't have to turn there, but Habakkuk 2:20 says this. He kind of comes to this conclusion. The Lord is on his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent. There's no talking to be done right now. And the only thing we can hang it on is God's on his holy throne, and no matter how much talking I do, I'm not going to figure it out. So we might as well just be silent. So what do you do? What do you do when you come to that point where you're saying to God, how long has this been going? And why is the place in front of me look like it's going to be even harder? Here's what the world would tell you. The world would say, you know, maybe you should just come to a point of resignation where you just go, it is what it is. It is what it is. I'm just going to suffer through it. It is what it is, and you know, this is where we get those crazy thoughts, like maybe I did something wrong. You know, maybe God's punishing me somehow, and we just resign to live in depression. We just resign to live in anger. We just resign to live with no feelings. Resignation is one place. Life is bad, and that's what you're going to get, so just keep going. Another thing the world might tell us to do is try detachment. Find something that will distract you from the issues that you're facing, maybe an amusement, an entertainment of some sort. Some people turn to drugs. This is where we see some people enter into real bad relationships, right? You know, if I can get into some kind of relationship right now, I don't care if it's good or it's bad, I can get through this. We see some people just say, I'm going to sleep this one. I'm just going to go to bed. You know, I'm just going to detach. I'm going to find something that will separate me from what I'm looking at, because I don't understand it. I'm in that why God moment. You know, here's what we find about detachment is despair knows exactly how to work its way through detachment. Have y'all ever seen that before? You think, I've got it under control. I'm going to be doing something else. I'm going to be thinking something else. I'm going to be paying attention. I'm going to do, yeah. And then all of a sudden, you just feel it coming up through the middle of it. There's that despair again. You know, a third way the world tells us is just flat out determination, right? I'm just going to grit my teeth and I'm just going to get through this. And you know, at points, there's where all these can be good things. You know, determination can be good. Sometimes we just do have to come to that point to say, it's not me. I can't get through it myself. Sometimes distraction of friends and stuff. But here's what I see, that in the book of Habakkuk, as we start with those questions of how long and why, in the end, the last three verses, we can see where Habakkuk came with that question of how long. Why? What to do when you're tired and the road ahead of you looks steep. So let's go to those three verses. I'm going to read them first, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to look at each of those three verses. At the end of Habakkuk chapter 3, we hit this verse 17. 17 says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there's no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." For the director of music, oh my, stringed instruments is how that one ends. Because they sang this, because it meant so much to him. I want to talk just for a second about what we just read. The King James version of that last one, he puts my hind feet on high places. Y'all might have heard that phrase before. There's a devotional that goes along with it. I want to walk through, how did Habakkuk get to those last three verses? In verse 17, let's look at that one again. In verse 17, it says, "I heard my though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall." You know, the first thing I want you to see here is that Habakkuk came to the decision that he wasn't in control. And I think that's where we all have to start. We have to come to this moment where we go, I can't control any of this. Because we want to, right? We want to say, you know, I can control this. I can get through this. I can make it. But if you look at all the examples that Habakkuk gives right there, they're all, you know, there's not anything growing. There's not any food to eat. You know, what that's describing is a time of drought. A time of, but we should know about that around here right now, right? A time of drought. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, though the crops fail, though there's no sheep in the pen. You know, when you're in a time of drought, there's nothing you can do. You don't have control over the rain. And Habakkuk, to start out his process of working through when you're tired and when the way is steep, he had to come to this conclusion, God, I can't control this. Only you can. Only you can. And then that starts the shift. That starts the shift to the next line. And it says this in verse number 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." I want us just to think about those two words that he utters right there. I will. I will. It's a statement of choice. It's a statement that says, I am going to mentally choose something. You know, if you take just the thought of it, I'm going to use my will. I will choose something here. He decides something. He decides to go against what he's feeling. He decides to go with rejoicing. Now those two things are interesting. Right now, he's not feeling like rejoicing. So he has to take a mental stop and say, although I don't feel like rejoicing, I feel like letting my lip quiver, I feel like letting my knees tremble, I feel like going, God, I just don't have anything. He says, instead, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to make a choice. I will rejoice. I will. You know, sometimes our faith and our feelings go together. Isn't that great? When your faith and your feelings go together, listen, that is revival time. That's going to summer camp time. That's coming in and Chris having the perfect worship music set, every song you love, and I get up and I preach your favorite verse, you know, and you're just feeling excited and joyful. And then your faith and your feelings come together. And boy, that's a beautiful place to be in. But that's rare. That doesn't happen all the time. There's so many times where your faith and your feeling are separated. And in that moment of separation between your feelings and your faith, you've got to make a choice. You have to make a I will statement. You've got to decide what's going to be the engine pulling your train and what's going to be the caboose. Am I going to let my feelings be the engine pulling my train? Or I'm going to let my faith be the engine pulling my train. Can I go ahead and tell you, emotions are not a good engine to pull your train. We kind of go back to that because emotions come, but emotions go. I mean, you know, this week I've had Rebecca tell me, she said, you know, be ready for waves of emotions. And, you know, I've had that this week where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, just a word or a song or a thought or something I read, you know, it just reminds me of something. And, you know, I kind of get sad. But, you know, the next moment, you know, I look and someone's encouraging me. So I get happy. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just kind of, your emotions are a horrible engine because they shift. And they change. Now, I'm not saying you don't need them. In fact, you do need emotions. God created you with emotions. I'm just saying your emotions aren't what should pull your train. Your faith. You've got to say, faith's up front. Emotions, you're the caboose. You're there. You're important. I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to allow myself to have those emotions. But what I'm going to let pull my train is my faith in God. You know, Mom and Dad moved down here to Texas back in August, and as I was thinking back, I thought, you know, it's kind of interesting as I'm thinking through letting your faith be your train, because if y'all remember, last August, we had the world's largest train engine come through Waller. Did anybody remember that? It was called Big Boy. It was making its way across America. Big Boy was this huge train. It was 17 feet tall, the engine was. 133 feet long was this Big Boy engine. It weighed 1.2 million pounds. It could carry 9 million pounds of freight. The reason it was built, because there was this mountain pass that had this 1 or 2% grade, and they needed an engine big enough to pull that train up that grade. And I started thinking about that and going that, you know, if I've got the choice between my feelings as the engine or my faith in God as the engine, and I've got this grade, mountain grade in front of me, I need to choose the Big Boy engine. I need to choose that thing that has the power and the strength to move forward. Here's what Habakkuk said. He said, I will choose faith over emotion. I will praise Him not for what I'm feeling, but in spite of what I'm feeling. I'm going to praise Him not for what I'm feeling, but in the midst of what I'm feeling, I'm going to choose to worship God. I will rejoice. Why is that important? Why is it important in the middle of chaos to choose to rejoice? Because, listen, when we choose to rejoice, it changes our focus. When I choose not to, when I choose to let my feelings be my engine, what am I focusing on? I'm focusing on what that is inside that's hurting me. That's where my focus goes. Have y'all ever noticed that where your focus goes, that's where you go? You know, if you ever try to walk a straight line but look something off to the side, that doesn't work, because suddenly you're going to be going towards what you focus on. But in the middle of that thing, if you choose to focus on God, that's going to pull you up that mountain. Praise leads to focusing on God's strength. It's amazing when we realize that our strength doesn't have to come from our circumstances changing. Now that's where we want it to come, right? I want my circumstances to change. That'll make me strong. But our strength doesn't come from changing our circumstances. Our strength comes from putting God into whatever equation that we have going on at that moment. Adding God to our equation. It's not drawing from God. It's drawing near God. And as we start drawing near that incredible engine of strength, then we start receiving the strength. You know, I wrote down, I'm tired. But I think this goes back to that. God knows I'm tired. What He wants to give me is His strength. And the only way to do that is for me to say, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Emotions work against it. Emotions pull me back a little bit, but then I just do it again. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Let's just kind of bring this to a conclusion as we look at verse number 18. At 19. 19 says, the sovereign Lord. Well, let me read 18 and 19. It says, 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. There's my focus. And then 19 it says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Now, like I said, that King James Version just keeps on. Yeah, he places my hind feet on high places. And when I've read that before, that hind feet on high places, when I read that he makes me like a deer, you know, climbing the mountain, for some reason, you know, I've kind of always thought of that as I'm on a mountaintop experience, right? God puts my hind feet on high places. But I wonder now, reading what Habakkuk went through and reading how it says that mountain deer. I think so many times, you know, this idea of a mountain deer or a mountain goat, we just don't get that understanding in East Texas, right? There's not a lot of mountains around, you know, in Waller to kind of get that picture. But have you ever seen a mountain deer or a mountain goat? And what you see with a mountain deer or a mountain goat is that God has created them to be sure-footed, to kind of be able to bounce and to climb. They're almost gravity-defying, their ability to navigate up a steep incline. In fact, this morning I just kind of looked up some videos. I wanted to kind of get a picture of what a mountain deer or a mountain goat, a video of an ibex, which is kind of a cross between a goat and it's got, you know, this deer kind of parts to it. But there's this incredible video where in this certain part of the world, they built this dam. And y'all have seen, you know, a dam before, where you, and they built it out of stones, and so it's a stone, this huge tall dam built out of stone. And what they found was, as the water came through at the stones, you know, just slightly, you know, it's holding most of the water back, but some of it seeps through. And when it seeps through, there's this natural process of potassium that's released from the stone in this water that kind of comes through that. And potassium is something these ibexes need. And as they found that on this dam, they climb it. It's sheer. But God's created them in such a way that you just watch these ibex climb this straight up dam with just these little pebble holes that they could use their hind legs, right, to push off. And it's just, looking up, it's some of the most incredible pictures where you're looking straight down, and here's some ibex is just licking the water coming out. And you see even the baby ones, they follow their moms up this sheer drop. You know, and then I come back to this and I kind of go, that's what God says He'll do for us. You know, it's not the hind feet on high places where I'm, it's that He's given me the hind feet to handle the steep climb. He said, here's what I promise. He said, you start focusing on me, I'm going to start strengthening your legs. I'm going to start helping you to understand, right, how to navigate and know which, where to put your foot on which pebble and which is strong enough to get you through. I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm walking along my path and there's a mountain in front of me, here's what I want God to do. I want God to move the mountain out of the way, right? I say, God, right now there's a mountain in my path and I need you to get that out of my way. I am tired and that looks steep. And what God says is, no, I'm going to give you legs like the mountain deer. And I'm going to give you the ability to go over that mountain that's in your path. You know, you think of a picture of a bridge. Bridges are usually something that goes over very dangerous areas, you know, like a big hole or a big river. And the thought of a bridge doesn't remove the danger. The bridge shows you how to navigate it safely, right? How to get over it. And that's the way God is with us. He said, I'm not going to remove that, but I am going to give you the ability, the strength to navigate over that mountain. You see, those two things are tied together, right? When I will to rejoice and I start getting my strength from God, then God starts strengthening my legs, and we start taking that mountain. And it turns out I'm not as tired as I thought I was. And that's not as steep as I was afraid it was going to be. That's the challenge today. The challenge today is when you're in that moment where you're just going, God, this looks crazy. What's in front of me doesn't look like it's going to be easy. You'll start praising God for who He is. And focusing on Him and start allowing Him to strengthen your legs. Now you might say, Blake, right now I'm not in that moment, so what am I supposed to do with that? Well, I will tell you this. How about this week you start training for when you are there? How about this week you just say, you know what, God? I'm going to focus on praising on You. Even if it's just something small, even if it's a molehill, even if it's just someone saying something or somebody doing something, when I hit something, I'm just going to practice praising this week. Can I tell you another thing that's really good to have in your pocket? That's a Christian family. It's a Christian family. Me and Mom can both tell you that, you know, as we put on Facebook, you know, that incredible thing, Facebook, you know, that Dad had passed away, hundreds of people said, let me encourage you. Let me help you get to that place where you could praise God in the middle of your emotions. And how beautiful it is to have a family. That's something we can work on right now, right? You know, in the quiet times and in the calm paths, work on praising God. Work on making sure you have a group of people around you ready to encourage you and to love you. Guys, as we move forward with Waller Baptist Church, that's why last week I just preached that we've got to figure out unity. Because here's what we know, the path isn't going to be flat, there's going to be mountains. But if we can get together, and no matter what happens, rejoice in God, God will start strengthening us individually and as a church for hinds feet in high places. And as we focus on God, we'll say, oh God, it was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. With my family and with my God, we can do whatever God lays before us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank You this morning for Your love. And God, just thank You for stories like Habakkuk where we just see that image of someone who's just saying, I'm tired. The way looks steep. But God, bring us to the same point You brought him to, where we just praise You in the middle of it. And God, in whatever way You strengthen us, God, just let us feel that new mercies that are available every morning. that gets us that next step, that moves us across. God, as we get to the other side, let us just say, our God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if anybody needs prayer, I'll be down front. As always, if God moves in your heart to make some kind of decision, maybe you need to join a church family today. We'd love for you to be a part of our church. Maybe it's at that point that we always talk about, that there might be someone here today that says, Blake, I don't have a relationship with God. And the hard time I'm going through, I don't know how to trust Him. I don't know how to move forward. I would love to show you how to start a walk with God today. During this time of reflection and invitation, we ask you just to sing and let God move in your hearts.